We have been in the book of James this summer, and we're going to talk about something that is, I believe, relatable to all of us. And I want to ask a question. I want to start off by saying this. Have you ever been in a situation where you've said something and immediately you say, "Where did that come from?" Said something maybe out of line. Maybe you said something that was a little bit too far, and that's just not your nature. Maybe you've said some words that you regretted. Maybe some words that you had to eat. You know, my great-grandmother, Lois Roberts, known as Granny Roberts, she used to have an old saying, and it said, "You better salt them words, because you're going to be eating them later." You ever been in that situation? I have. You know, there's some things that really bother me, just drive me crazy, boils my blood. And it all began when I turned 16. I got my driver's license. I did everything by the book. I actually got a good grade on a test. It was great. And I hit the road. Well, I thought it was just going to be perfect. But shortly after I got my license, I began to develop a list of things that drives me crazy of people on the road. You may have one too. I'm going to share a few. And this is a little more recent, but people that text while they drive, okay, that's a big one. You know, it's not safe. The one that really drives me crazy is when they're at a red light and they're texting and then the light turns green. You know, they're not moving. Okay, you're at a red light. Yeah, it's all good. You got to enter your text, you know. But it turns green, they just sit there. And they sit there. And they sit there. And there's three cars behind us, and they sit there. All right? Now, sometimes you give them a little tap on the horn, and it's like they are so offended by it. You know? That drives me crazy. You know, you could do that in New York. You could probably do that in Dallas, too, now. But you do that in Waxahachie or Ellis County, they're offended. How dare you honk at me for blocking the entire road for you to go straight when the light's green? It doesn't make any sense. Here's another one that drives me crazy. I used to do a lot of auctions in Dallas. I'd always be in downtown Dallas, and people are lost. And look, we all get lost. We're not in that location. And people will be lost. They'll be at their phone. You can tell they're lost, you know, because they got that. It's like a light bulb's on top of their head, and then it busts. You know, it's just blank. That's what they're lost. Yeah, they're kind of, you know, they're looking like that. Okay, they're lost. And they got their phone. They're, "Oh, honey, I can't find the maps." It's a, or, you know, maybe they got the big map. You remember those big Atlas things that took the whole front seat, you know? And they're looking for, okay, fine, we're lost. But they're stuck in the middle of the road. And they just stopped. And they're lost. Move over. You know, that drives me crazy. We all get lost, but just pull over to the side. Here's one that really gets me. And this happens a lot. You're going down a highway, you're going down a road, right? You're going the speed limit, everything's all good. And a big truck is on this road going to the highway. They run the stop sign to pull right out in front of you and then go 30 miles an hour to 65. Yep. Why? Why? It don't make any sense. I mean, I could see if there's 20 cars behind me, you know, maybe it's a funeral procession, maybe Kenneth is leading a funeral procession, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's nobody behind you. And they pull right in front of you and they go 30 and a 65. And you gotta slow down for them. That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. You break the law to pull out in front of me. And I just don't understand it. It drives me crazy. I'm just being honest with you. So as you guys know, I am engaged, and so we're a little far in distance with me and Jessica and I. So on my days off, I usually meet her halfway. It's not bad. But since I've been making that trip to meet her halfway, I've developed more things on my list. Oh boy. So I take I-30. That's a crazy highway. It is. It's nuts. So these are the ones that really drive me crazy. The people that get so close behind you, okay? Now if you're a tailgater, God love you, okay? That's okay. I know a lot of the tailgater, okay? But they're so close to you that you know what they had for breakfast. Because you can see in their teeth. You can count the nose hairs in your hair. I mean, they are close. You can see everything, their face, all of it, you know. They're just so close to you. And I go, if I just, you know, had a reflex and accidentally tapped the brake, they'd run into me. That's how close they are. That drives me crazy. Why you gotta be so close? Go around me. Doesn't make any sense. Or how about this one? This one really gets me. Semi-trucks, they're in the right lane. You're in the left lane. You're going the speed limit. They're going 15 under. And they cut you off and get in the left lane. And then they stay in that speed limit and go 60, 50, 40, 30, until every single semi is passed. And it drives me crazy. I just want to just scream and yell and just throw something at that truck, you know? It just drives me nuts. Now, I could go on and on and on, as you guys can tell. Those things drive me crazy. But there are things that can get us really upset. There are things that can test us, test our patience, test what we say. We all have to go through those things. And you have your own things. There's times in our lives as believers where we are tested. And there's times where we have to say things whenever we have to be very careful, because they can come back and bite us. It's for everybody. Especially when we live for the Lord. You ever notice there's a lot of times when we're in situations and things happen, maybe, you know, there's something that's really bothering you and you just want to grab that person and say something to them, but it's not really led by the Holy Spirit, you know, it's kind of like out of the flesh, you know, you're upset, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, as a pastor, it's there. There's a lot of times where I have to hold my tongue. I have to say, don't say anything. Lord, help me. Help me not say anything. Well, you know, James talked about this very thing. James talked about how teachers need to be careful what they say. And that's what he says in chapters 3. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." Make no mistake, whether it be in leadership of any type of capacity or just being a mom, a dad, a husband, whatever it may be, we have to be able to learn how to control our speech, because a lot of times our tongues, our mouths, what we say can change everything. You know, I gave you an example of something that boils my blood. Okay, what if that happens on the highway and I blurt out something that I shouldn't have said something that was insulting, whatever it may be, and I got a bunch of youth kids in the car. Okay, I just could have possibly made my example as a pastor go away. You see what I'm saying? It's amazing how something as small as just what we say can change everything from people outside the church, their outlook on us. Now, what James is talking to here, the original audience, this is the early church, okay? So there's a lot of Jewish Christians, you know, here comes Christianity, it's making a big revival taking place. James is talking to a lot of people who wanted to teach at that time. But as they were teaching, they kind of had the wrong motives. And scholars say that these were people that were teaching Christianity, but they wanted to be hailed as like a rabbi, which a rabbi is very high respect. They had the wrong motives. And they were saying things that were not lined up with the Holy Spirit, with God. And James is saying, you have to be able to control your tongue, your thoughts, your speech, whatever it may be, because it can change everything. Your example can be gone just by your words. And he gave some examples. The first example is in verse 3. He says, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth." So I want to give you an image of this. This is what James is talking about. I love imagery. So this is what you call chomping at the bit. So this right here is what we're talking about. We got this metal bit right here, and it controls the horse wherever it goes. The horse, you want it to go left, you want it to go right, you want it to slow down, you want to speak, whatever it may be. That little bitty piece of metal controls that giant animal. The horses are pretty strong. Here's another example in verse 4. He says, "Also a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong." So let's look at a rudder on a huge ship. This first one's a rudder on a smaller ship. You see what we're talking about here? This is a rudder. This is what controls. That little thing can control an entire boat. See how small it is, but see how it controls everything. Without that rudder, you can't do much. Now you could probably canoe and get a paddle. But what about this next picture right here? This is a picture of a large ship. You can't canoe out of that. That's some pretty long paddles you got out. You can't do it. That little bitty rudder right there that I see right there, that controls that entire ship.
So you see the imagery here, what James is talking about. Our tongue, I'm not going to stick my tongue out at you because I was raised not to do that. But you know what I'm talking about. Our tongue can control our entire way we look, what we say, what we do. Man, that is something that can be very damaging and very rewarding if we control our thoughts. The tongue can be used to encourage, to evangelize, to endear, and just seconds later, if right at the right time, it can be used to criticize, to mock, and to curse. And I know that because I know me. And if you ride with me on the road, I'm usually pretty cool. I'm a pretty laid-back guy, you know. I usually don't get all worked up. But there's something about being on the road and people do those things. It's like the flesh inside of me wants to just take over, and I just want to say some things that I don't need to be saying. Nah, you know, I don't, you know, say bad words or anything. But my motives and my intentions and my heart and my mind, it's not in a good place. Benjamin Franklin once said, quote, "A slip of the food may recover, but a slip of the tongue may never recover," end quote. Something we say can change somebody's outlook. It can change our outlook. It can just put us all in a whack. It's tough. It's difficult. But the tongue can change lives and it can also tear them down. We as believers have to be careful. We have to be careful. Even when we're at a weak state. You know, when I was a kid, before we had 200 channels, we had like six, you know. And one of them was Cops. Anybody ever watch Cops? I used to watch Cops all the time. It was the only thing on. And you'd watch it, and it was almost like clockwork. They'd pull somebody over, and your adrenaline's going, you know. The person that's been detained, you know, I've never been detained. But, I mean, you could see in their eyes and their face and their mannerism that their adrenaline's very high, and they're in a weak state. And what does the officer always say to them? You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say or do can be used against you in the court of law. And he goes on and on. You can get a lawyer and all this and that. And what usually happens? The people start talking. They start talking in a weak state. They start saying things that's going to bite them in court later. Because the officer is listening to everything they say. And a lot of times they contradict themselves in court before they even get to court. Because they're talking when they should be silent. Now, this is just an example, okay? But it is true. A lot of times where we don't read God's word, we don't pray, we don't worship, we begin to just let it kind of slide. And then we start getting into a weaker state. And the enemy starts to attack us. It starts to build up. And then we start trying to do things on our own and do it our way, not God's way. And we begin to get worked up. It's okay, I go through this too. We all go through it. And then our tongue, like that rudder there on the ship, controls us. And my question is it good control or is it bad control? So that brings me to my first point, which is this. Use your tongue the right way. We all have a tongue. We all can say good things. We can all either walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh. And it's a constant battle. I'm not exempt from it. You're not exempt from it. We all have to have a constant relationship with the Lord. There's a lot of times we're on a high. It's going great. Everything's going well. Finances are great. Family's doing great. Everyone's protected. There's no sickness. It's going good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then it all begins to crumble. And it seems like everything's falling apart. It seems like nothing's going right. And nothing's being met. And nothing's going well. And it's easy for us to go in and not say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm just being honest with you here as your pastor. I want to challenge you that whenever we use our tongue, we have to use the tongue the right way. Second point is this. Don't start or fan the flame. If you grew up on the campsite anywhere, you know that it just takes just a little bit to start a fire. Just a little bit of a spark can start a forest fire. Just a little bit. And it's amazing how something that small, with just a little bit of a flame or a little bit of a spark, can do thousands and millions of damage of acres, of land, trees,
when it started that small. I'm just going to be honest with you here, folks. I'm a young pastor. I've been in ministry for a few years now, but as a pastor of a church in ministry, I can tell you this. I've seen words and the tongue that's not the right way. I've seen it destroy relationships. I've seen it destroy marriages. I've seen it destroy friends. I've seen it split and destroy churches. It's true. Just by what somebody said. Something a pastor said at the pulpit split the church. Just one thing. They weren't operating in the spirit, they were operating in the flesh. It happens a lot in churches all across America and the globe. Just the tongue. The little tongue that controls it. It's something that can be very great. Loving words to one another. We can say these things. We want to say these things. They're good things. But on the flip side, we can say something that can be damaging and take a long time. A long time to make it right. So the bottom line is this. You have to think before you speak. I know we've heard that our whole lives by our mom and dad. Think about what you say first. I can't tell you how many times my mother's told me that. Got to think. Now, think about it first before you say it. Because I used to have a pretty bad mouth. Still do sometimes. But. I've gotten a lot better. I said, Lord, give me wisdom. Because I'm about to say something I'm going to regret. You ever been in that situation, you know?
Yeah.
I'm still there occasionally. But it is true. In order to make sure you're doing what God wants us to do, you have to think before you speak. What do I mean by that? I mean simply this. We have to be walking in the Spirit. You know, we have the Advocate. The Holy Spirit can do great things. The Holy Spirit can move in our services. The Holy Spirit can move in our personal lives. He can do powerful, powerful things, and we can have manifestations. You know, something else the Holy Spirit can do is guide us.
Right.
He guided the early church. They'd pray and say, Lord, tell me where to go. Send me that way. And he would speak to them and say, you're going there, you're going there. He would guide people. When you see in the New Testament, well, he can guide our lives as well. He can guide what we say. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will speak to us and say, probably shouldn't have said that. Think about that. That's happened to me several times. There's been times where I've been walking up to somebody and I want to minister to them. And seriously, I'm about to say something, and the Holy Spirit will say, stop, wait. And once I start talking to them, what I was going to say, that changed. Because it would have been a big swing and a miss. You ever been in that situation? So what I'm going to try to tell you, if you don't remember anything from this sermon, is to think before we speak. Because the tongue can be something that can change lives. And is it changing lives for the good, or is it changing lives for the bad? There's times where it's very difficult, where, like I said, everything is hard. Everything is difficult to be able to do, you know. It's okay. We all go through those things. We all have situations where we're just, it's built up time after time after time. And the rudder that's controlling our ship begins to speak out, and it's something that we shouldn't have said. And we go, I shouldn't have said that. The problem is, whenever we say that, you can't just take it back in. It's out there. And I've had to learn that from personal experience. As well. So here's my question. Is there something in your life right now where it's been brought to your mind, your attention, that could have been a problem? Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. Maybe you were at a very weak point. It was a very terrible day. We have some bad weeks. Maybe it was something that we said before we spoke. Maybe it was something that was out of line. Maybe it was something that we should have took back, or we should have thought about it or prayed about it before we said it. Whatever it may be. This is what I want you to do if you can think of that situation. I want you to reach out and reconcile. Reach out and reconcile. You know, I mentioned prison ministry. One of the neatest things that's happened, a lot of great things have happened, but we talked about forgiveness. And I talked about that last week at Hedden Chapel in Arkansas. Reach out to reconcile. And what we told the inmates said, if there's somebody, if either you're offended or you're the offender, reach out to them. You know, a lot of them did. They wrote letters. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they wrote letters out to the people. And then whatever the situation was, I didn't know what it was. I didn't ask. But they did. And you know what they did? They reached out. They did what they could do. We got a report back from a gentleman that
wrote out to his dad. And him and his dad couldn't reconcile. And so he decided to take the step, the leap of faith, and go out and reconcile. And what we preached was that, you know what? It may not work out like they did, like it does a lot of times, but you tried. And you went to that step, and you took that next step, and now you can heal and move on. And so the guy sent out the letter to his dad and reconciled. And it turns out that he had cancer. He's getting towards the end of his life, and the guy wrote the letter to his dad. And not only did the dad respond back, but he accepted Jesus Christ into his heart as well. So you never know what happens when you reach out to reconcile. You never know what happens whenever you use your tongue in the right way and say good words. Now, the tongue is connected to the mind, that's connected to the heart. And so we have to be able to start from there to make sure what we're saying is good, okay? So we have to think before we speak. I want you this week, if that's been bothering you, friends, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit wants you to reach out and reconcile. It may not work out well. It may not work out great. But you know what? You're taking that step. And you can move on from that. And the wound that you had could turn into a scab, and it could turn into a scar. And although it may not hurt, it's healed. And you're trying. So maybe you've done that. Maybe you've said something that was wrong, or somebody said that to you, and you'd like to heal from that. I want to tell you that God is a God of healing. He's the healer. He can do big, big things. But a lot of times we have to step out too. And I want you to, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to front you out. I just want you to know that you can step out and you can heal from that situation if you've said something that's damaging. And the same tongue that was bad, you can turn into good, and it can be a wonderful thing.